Welcome folks. Today we'll be studying the standard operating procedures and formats for housekeeping. And the objectives of today's lesson is to study what standard operating procedures means, in short SOPs. Every organization has a particular procedure. Every organization carries out different daily routines. And all these organizations need to have all of them documented so that it becomes easy to train. The importance is it makes things easy for job allocation, for work schedules. An explanation of the activities is in the organized manner. This is what all SOPs does. It gives you procedures, it gives you the ways to communicate, the ways to teach, it gives you a standard operating procedure, is a backbone of any department. That's how your department functions. Plus there are reports which are generated on a daily basis which help the department to function. So we will be going through all these objectives as one by one and throughout this presentation. First, let us understand the importance of standard operating procedures. Standard operating procedures gives you the detail of every job, every task. It drives the task to the minuscule level, and it times the task. So it tells you how much time a particular person will take to do a task, and therefore how much time will the particular person require in a day to do a job. So that is very important. It tells you the exact procedure, it tells you which cleaning equipments to use, which cleaning chemicals to use. It allows you to streamline your entire department. And as we all know, chemicals advance, there's advance in technology, equipments advance. So as soon as these advance and the hotel adopts to it, SOPs have to be adopted that way. So they have to keep updating them. SOPs are not sacrosanct. They're not going to remain for life. You have to keep updating them. SOPs are also in workplaces, in some hotels are referred to as work cards or order of work documents. Like I said, SOPs comprise of the following information: job to be done, equipment and material required for that particular job to be done, procedure of the work, the safety standards to be used, time required to do the job. It helps minimize risk. It's not like somebody is cleaning a room in a particular manner and another person is cleaning in another manner and the quality is completely different. So SOP tries to ensure that the quality is maintained as long as you train the person well to do the job in a particular manner. Goals of establishing SOPs. First initial goal which comes into mind is standardization. You have to standardize everything. That's how a housekeeper knows what he or she needs to do. It helps in training. That's what you do use to train your staff. It preserves your surfaces and materials because you studied it. You worked on those surfaces. You know exactly what chemicals, how much of chemical to use, what is the quantity of the chemical to use. And you're training that aspect to your staff. So the staff is not, using too much of chemicals, spoiling the surfaces otherwise. So it helps you to preserve that. It also ensures that you've got a timeline. So the timeline is specified in the SOP. That's the amount of time it takes to comfortably do the work. So it helps you to do your task successfully. It helps you time your task. It helps you to be more efficient. It helps you in saving of chemical your equipment, because your SOPs also specify how you have to preserve the equipment, how you have to use the equipment. And how it helps you saving on costs of agents, cleaning agents, because you're not buying in excess. You know exactly the amount of quantity required to clean X number of rooms. And person who's doing the work knows, I just need one teaspoon of this or one cap of this. So he's not using in excess, so there is less wastage. SOPs helps prevent accidents. How does it help prevent accidents? People are not doing things, they're tripping over themselves and trying to do things and forgetting things because they are tuned to the SOPs. Obviously, it helps in training because that is what you want a standard of. And it also helps you make a schedule. It helps you get your staffing requirement. So once you know for a particular type of room, you require 20 minutes. And a room boy is going to do 10 rooms in a day or 20 rooms in a day. You can and fix that. This is the amount of time of break which he would take. This is the amount of time he would take. So you can do an entire work schedule that way. So a person would be able to do so many rooms in a particular shift. Job allocation and work schedule. That is one very important aspect of the SOP. But that also comes with the position of the employee. What is the job you allocate to the employee would depend on the position which he implies. So your hierarchy is then also a part of your SOP. What is the area of operation the employee will do? The time at which the employee has to perform the allocated tasks. You have to clean the ceiling in the lobby. It cannot be cleaned in the day. It has to be cleaned in the night. In the night also, you can't do it deep in the night. You have to do it very early in the morning. You cannot make noise. So all those aspects have to be taken into account. So you put a timing there. Timing of meals and breaks. Breaks. That also the SOP will give you. 1 hour lunch break. 15-minute tea break. What time the person can take a break. What is the right time for the person to take a break? What is the cafeteria timing in the hotel? Accordingly, you have to, muster, your daily muster has to be modified. Timing of any special jobs, tidying equipment and closing up. A very important thing in every department, especially in housekeeping, is how you take care of your equipments. How do you put them? How do you store them? And when you're closing up and you're handing it to the later shift, how do you do your handover and takeover? Because handing over the material, in what condition you're handing it over. Ultimately, you are responsible for the equipment you're using. You're responsible for the chemicals you're using. You're responsible for every aspect of what you are doing. So that is also a very important aspect. Now, calculating staff strength, like I said earlier. Staff strength and would depend on many, many aspects. One is the amount of work load which a person has to carry out on a particular day. It's a 9 hour shift. In a 9 hours shift with a 1 hour break, that gives you 8 hours of productive work. In that 8 hours of productive work, how much can a person do? That would depend on what? The type of hotel. The amount of cleaning required in a particular room. The size of the rooms. Now, whether this hotel is a city hotel, it's a hill station hotel, it's a resort, it's a seaside hotel, each have different requirements of cleaning. A city hotel, there'll be a lot more dust which will come in. And a hill station resort, there'll be lesser in its in resorts. Anyway, the timing will be completely different. From what when you're cleaning, it's all happen in the daytime. Nothing happens in the night. Daytime, all the guests go out on a resort. In a seaside, you have to take care of the moisture which is coming in. How do you tackle that? Your equipments, your television in the rooms, your own equipments. You have to keep them moisture free. The other thing which you have to look at is the tradition and the customs of the locality which you are situated. That is where your staff is coming from. So knowing their customs, knowing their traditions, and you will know exactly when to give them a break. Which other days knowing that they have functions in those localities at that point of time, which are the staff which you require at that point of time. So you'll be able to do your staffing that way, and your staff strength will be calculated that way. Obviously, the size of the hotel, number of rooms. The more the rooms, the more the staff you require, lesser the rooms, lesser the staff you require. The bigger the lobby, the more in public areas require, more public areas, more public area staff. More the footfalls, more people in public areas. The management needs, their management needs and company policies. and the quality of work which you need to get done, which is one of the most important essential aspect. And if a person can do 9 rooms in a shift and you force the person to do 12 rooms in a shift, the quality will naturally suffer because he will go through each task very quickly. Going through each task very quickly means he's not giving you eye for detail. I'm giving an example. So take that as an example. What is the expected standards and the standards which you need to meet? That's exactly what I was just telling you about. The time needed to do the work. The frequency at which the work needs to be done, especially when it comes to lobby and public areas. Public area bathrooms. How frequently? Every half an hour do you need to clean it? Every hour do you need to clean a public area bathroom? Every 1.5 hours do you need to clean? That would depend on the traffic which you're getting in the area. And the time which you would get also in the work area. Like in the lobby, like the main heavy lifting cleaning happens in the night because the footfalls are least. But the mopping, cleaning, piping constantly happens throughout the day. So that is what you have to keep in account. And that is all what the SOPs will tell you. That is why you do the SOPs. So you don't forget anything when you're doing your staff strength requirement and calculating it. Now let's get to when a person starts a shift. What is the first thing which he does? It's the AM report, the early morning report. What does the AM report give you? It gives you the status of the rooms. It gives you how it has been rented. I mean, is it checkout? Is it occupied? Is it a stayover? Is it unoccupied? Is it ready? All this is done when you do an AM report. You do an entire check, physical check. If a guest is in-house, you probably cannot do the physical check. If there is a D&D, you can't do the physical check. But it will give you an idea. It will give you an entire idea of it. The one major aspect of an AM report is it tells the housekeeping, it informs the front office, is what is the actual status of the room. The status of the room, apart from what is it in the software, I mean, you have a lot of places where, the front office guy in the night is just giving the room to somebody, taking the money and putting it in his pocket. But the room is occupied. How do you know that? So it's not checked into the system. So unless and until somebody physically inspects it, you will not know. So this is what it tells you. Another report, which is a very important report, is the room status report. What does the room status tell you? Room status report, which you take out from front office or from the housekeeping desk, it tells you which room is occupied, vacant, dirty, clean, ready, out of order. So it gives you a basis of doing the entire scheduling of work. Apart from that, it also gives you a clear picture on how much work do you have for the day. Room status, it shows you whether, also tells you who's going to be checking into the room. If there is an expected arrival and the room has been allocated, it also tells you that. So that is a very important tool for the housekeeper to have, also for the housekeeping boy. You've given him a particular floor, the floor supervisor should know who's coming into which room and what time they're coming in, expected arrival time, so that they can work on that. So the room status report is a very important report in that aspect. Now, this is a list of standard room status codes which are used in housekeeping, which are occupied. We've gone through this earlier in an earlier chapter, but I'll just recapture this for you. Occupied, vacant and dirty, occupied and dirty, occupied and clean, occupied and dirty, check out, out of order, do not disturb. These are the various examples of it. Occupancy report. Now, occupancy report is the report of which rooms are actually occupied, with details of guests, number of adults, number of children, in number of nights, extra beds. So if there are 3 adults in a double occupied room, So when you're doing your physical check, you come to know that there's an extra bed which has been supplied, or an extra person has stayed. So you have to charge for an extra person. So this is the report which, once you look it through, and when you're going through your cleaning process, will tell you where the gaps are. Which are rooms which are expected to be occupied. So these are what which tells you. Blocked rooms, in which guest is coming into which room, which is the VIP room. So the occupancy report gives you that aspect. What you do in the morning report and in the evening report at turndown service is exactly find out, check with the occupancy report which the front office has generated. You take that report and then you do your own room occupancy report. What you do in a room occupancy report is, when you're going through, do a turndown service, or when you're doing a cleaning early morning cleaning service, you know exactly the number of people who stayed in to the room. You will know how many people have occupied the room or how many people are going to occupy the room. So you update your housekeeping list accordingly, and you pass it on to receptionist. What does the reception do? Reception comes to know how many visitors are there, if visitor policy is going properly. That is one aspect. The other aspect, the receptionist also comes to know that I have to charge for extra bed, extra person. So it is important for a security point of view. It is important for a revenue point of view. So various reporting formats which are very important. One is the supervisory daily work report. Now this would tell the housekeeper, what is the supervisor done? Has he checked every aspect of the rooms which have been cleaned, especially if he's a floor supervisor? Has he checked the corridors? Has he done his daily work? So his daily work report at the end of the shift, he's supposed to give it. That way, a daily work report is very important. The key report, the key pass key control sheet, the control sheet which is there. There are different things which are generated, different requests which are generated throughout the day. The control room has to keep a report on it. Those reports are submitted in. Housekeeper would say, a room boy would say that there is a telephone not working in 202. So the report has to be made, it'd be logged into the diary there in the control room. Now follow-up will be done with maintenance. The telephone started working again. That report has to be there. So you'll know what problems occurred throughout the day and what are the different solutions which occur. Housekeeper's report, which goes in the morning to your morning meeting, goes to the night shift in the night. That's an important aspect. Night supervisor's report. Anything which happened in the night, all activities in the night, apart from the work which has happened, any disturbances on the floors, any other activities which happened. Housekeeping standing schedule just speaks for itself. That is the schedule for your employees, what your standing schedule is. Cleaning and guest supply report, which is, what is the cleaning equipments which we use today? Guest supply, how much has been used, the consumption and inventory of that report is very important, so that you can plan your activities for the next day properly. Now, to give you an example of the room status report, this is an example of the room status report. Room numbers to one side, you have the status of the room. You have DBL, TWN, that is your room types. Is it a double room, twin room? Is it a large bedroom? Now, at 9 a.m., what was the status of the room? That's the housekeeping boy would put it. It's occupied. It's vacant departure. You can see two examples there. One is VD at room 110, and room 309 is triple O. VD is vacant departure. And 309 is triple O, which is out of order. And then you have any remarks which are there. 2 p.m., what was the status? So likewise, this is your room status report. Now, to get to the room status cycle, that's as simple as this. It's the status of the room. So what is the cycle? It is vacant. It is vacant, it's empty. It is inspected and cleaned. So vacant, inspected. Then it goes into occupied. You've given it the key to a guest, so it becomes occupied, but it's clean because you cleaned it in the morning. Then it becomes occupied, dirty. Once the guest checks out, it becomes vacant, dirty. Then it becomes vacant, ready, then Waking clean and waking ready. And it goes back into waking inspected. Because after the supervisor clears the room, then it goes into waking inspected. That's the entire cycle. We've gone through the cycle in the previous chapters also. Now this is the housekeeping, just what the software would show you. You know, desk has, housekeeping desk has put various aspects. The floor supervisor various aspects. At any given point of time, you just have to click on the status. It'll show you the status report, basically. It'll show you the room number, which is the unit here, the status of it, you know, what you need to replace sheets in that. It's a family type of room. Is it occupied, vacant? Which floor, which zone, which this, depending on you. So these are just, a sample of what the software, some software would generate for you, so that you'll get a little better idea. You can have one glance at any particular aspect which you want. Let's get to SOPs. Now, SOPs, we started with the introduction. We were talking about SOPs. SOP is the standard operating procedure, as we said. It is where your, you know, specific operation defines every activity necessary to complete a task. Once, you know, the task has to be completed, it has to be recorded, and SOP would also provide that. It'll follow all your industrial regulations, industrial standards, all the standards which you run for your own business. It'll follow all the laws. And your own laws which are existing in that aspect. Coming to an SOP of housekeeping SOP, it's a step-by-step instruction guide for everyone. See, SOP should be written in a particular manner that the dumbest can understand it. Knock three times on a door. Use the name housekeeping. We'll get to that. So the person who's dumb also understands it. And it'll contain every small task. Every small task. It's a set, it's a written instruction so that anyone can read it at any point of time. I need to brush up on my SOP. I just pick up the SOP and go through what my role will tell me and just start reading it. And it'll tell me what it is. It'll help me in maintaining quality. If I've forgotten something, I can go back to it and say, okay, so if this machine has done this, what do I do now? I can go back to it. It'll help me maintain my equipment. It'll help me create my standards. It'll help me in quality. It'll help me in keeping, it'll be comfortable for me also, at least as a service staff. It gives me entire directions and there is no ambiguity in it. Now let's get to different types of SOPs. Let's say, I'm giving you a few examples throughout this. Now for entering a guest room, knocking on the door. Knock, knock. Let's go to knocking on the door first. Knocking on the door, use your knuckles. Knock twice. Say housekeeping. Wait for 5 seconds. Knock the second time. You don't get a response. Say housekeeping. Wait for another 5 seconds. Knock the third time. Say housekeeping. Do not get a response. Open the door with your key. And once you open the door with your keys, housekeeping, may I come in, sir, or madam? Then you go back to this slide. Now, when you get coming back to this slide, once you've entered the guest room, if there is a guest present, the guest may greet you when you open the door. Also, you have to greet the guest politely. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Depending on the time of the day. You don't say good night to a guest as a greeting. You say good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Sir or madam are normal nomenclatures. But if you know the name of the guest, use his or her name. It shows familiarity. It shows service. Ask the guest very politely. So, can I clean your room? So, or should I come back later? This will say, please come and clean now. Or will tell you that, no, you can come back later. I am now moving out in half an hour. Come after half an hour. So, you note that down, say, thank you very much and leave. Otherwise, you enter the guest room quietly. and you start doing your work. If the guest is sitting in a place which you need to clean, request the guest, sir, could you please move from here for a minute? I'll just clean this. So now let's get to various other aspects of your SOPs. So different jobs have different SOPs, like bed making. There's an SOP for bed making. You have to leave a gap of 6.5 inches, 1/4 inch. On top, before you fold, when you fold your second sheet and third sheet, you fold them and then you tuck them in. Why do you leave the gap there? You leave the gap so that the pillows can come in there. The person doesn't have to move the pillows to remove the top sheet to move in to his bed. So you leave a gap before tucking in. The fold which you do down to fold it inside, it has to be triangle based. What is the amount of the length of the bed sheet which will leave for the fold, so that the fold is comfortable. There should be no creases. How do you ensure there's no creases? So all those aspects are put into the SOP in bed making. Cleaning bathrooms and tiles. Now these are examples, and I'm going to go through some examples. I'm not going to go through in complete detail of scrub and finish the platform. It should take you X amount of minutes. What do you scrub the platform with? What do you scrub the bathtub with? What do you scrub the basin with? How much of liquid you have to put in? How much of this you have to do? So we just brush through them. So scrub and clean the platform, the bathtub, the basin. Scrub and finish the toilet bowl, rim and hinge. Wipe the mirror, clean bathroom walls using wet mop or sponge. Wet mop would not be suggested. Clean in bathroom walls using sponge. Wipe the mirror with a little rubbing alcohol or on a soft cloth. Spray with Collins or whatever other glass cleaners which you require, which is suggested with you in your hotel. And use a microfiber cloth. Don't go in circular motion. Go in straight lines so that circular motion doesn't leave marks and doesn't leave fiber. So those are the examples of cleaning bathroom tiles and mirrors. See, again, here we're getting into floor cleaning, and you can see the photograph of cleaning of the bathroom, the mirror. How is it done? Floor cleaning, especially you're using a machine here. So this is a scrubbing machine which is being used. Cleaning sinks and vanity cares. Like I said, you have to clean the top. You have to clean the inside if the sink is within. Within the counter, then the top has to be cleaned thoroughly. You have to open the cupboard below, then clean the portion below so that your guest doesn't put anything else. The hinges are below. And if it's a over-the-counter sink, then you have to clean the edges. You have to clean the sides so the sink is properly cleaned. And the vanity area, it's the most important area. A person brushes his teeth there. A person washes his face there. If that is dirty, then that's the end of it. So that has to be cleaned properly. So you have to make an SOP for that. Then your control desk, another very important aspect in our housekeeping department. The control desk controls everything. It's a one-point contact for the entire housekeeping department. It directs everyone. So a guest is called, collect my laundry, will send a laundry boy either from the linen room up there, or will ask the room boy from the floor to collect it and send it down. That will all depend on availability of the person, where the person is there, how that task has to be assigned, so that the guest gets maximum comfort. You know, which guest rooms are yet to be serviced. So a control room desk controls everything. Our front office is calling, this guest is checking in, room is not yet ready. Control room comes into front. Public area is dirty. Somebody calls and says, public area is dirty. Who is there in that public area? What is the task you have to perform? And what is the task he's currently doing? You have to give the entire briefing because you're the one-point contact. You have to take all your beginning and ending work reports from everyone. You have to collect the keys. Keys are very important. We'll get to keys later because keys are very important. Keys are everything. Right? And housekeeping controls all the keys. Front office controls the keys which they give to the guest. Housekeeping controls master keys. We'll get to the keys, a different aspect. Signing of different registers, Everybody, control room is where everyone is allocated, it's controlled, and the accountability issue comes in. That's where you know where the accountability lies. That's an example of a control room desk. Basically, the person sitting with the register, report right next to her, where the markings in register, all the things are noted, in the report, activities are noted, and the follow-up has to be done on all those activities. So that's the control room desk. Now let's get to corridor room cleaning and mini bar or mini fridge cleaning. Now corridors have to be at least clean once in a day. Corridors will be of two types. One, you will have carpeted corridors, or you will have tiled corridors. If you have carpeted corridors, you're using a vacuum cleaner, but the sides have to be cleaned. You use the vacuum nozzle to clean the sides. What do you use to clean it? There are fittings in the entire corridor. You have to dust the fittings. You have to skirt. If it's a tiled one, you have to skirt the entire thing with a duster. You have to dust the light fittings in the corridors, frames, glasses. There are lots of things in a corridor. You have to use feather brushes or dusters, depending on the kind of material which is there, depending on the nook and cranny which you have to go through. Then another thing which you have to, you should not forget, that there are every room, mostly in all hotels, have refrigerators. Some hotels are stocked it with minibars. Minibars with soft drink, chocolates, alcoholic beverages, snacks for guests, which are obviously at a chargeable basis. One is you have to see if there is anything used. You have to inform the front office and F&B service that this is used, please replace it. And charge the guests accordingly. Second thing you have to do is clean it. It's a part of your cleaning of your room. You have to clean the refrigerator. So these are some ways of cleaning the refrigerator, and look at the way the corridor is being cleaned. So the chandeliers in the corridor which need to be cleaned, all those aspects are very important. And all these are noted down in your SOPs. Let's get to dusting of guest rooms. Now dusting of guest rooms is, you have to wipe, you have to remove dust and fingerprints of the entire guest room. You know, dusting some high ceilings, you have to dust the high ceilings. You have to use cloth, you have to use feather brushes. All your dusting will be done with the air conditioning on and the room windows being open, if there are windows in the room. There are some hotels which don't have windows in the room, they have just glass. That's when you open the bathroom door and keep the exhaust on. Why do you keep the AC or air conditioning on in the windows? Because A, you're aerating the room. Second is you're not allowing the wind to come in. You're allowing the wind to go out. So if any particle is flying in the dust from your this, it's going out. You start from top, you go to the bottom. You don't start from bottom and go to top. Because dust from top then settles in the bottom. So you dust all surfaces starting from top, working down to the floor. Hard to reach places. Easy to miss areas, lighting fixtures, under the bed, very important. Top of wardrobes and cupboards, very, very, very important. Especially if you have a gap in the ceilings, ceiling to ceiling, inside the wardrobes and cupboards. Also very important. Now let's get to key control. Key control, like I said earlier, it's a very important aspect. Housekeeping control has all the keys of the hotel. It does not only have the guest room keys, it does not only have the floor master keys, it has the master key also of the hotel, which opens all the locks in the hotel. It also has all the keys to all the offices in the hotel. It has every key possibly imagined in a hotel is with housekeeping. So control is very, very important. Because anyone takes a key and opens up a door and takes stuff out, there will be property theft. Security incidents will happen. You have to carefully monitor and track the keys in a hotel operation. And housekeeping controls all the keys. So there are different keys available. Like I said earlier, there's guest room key, which is important for different activities. Now you can't give a guest room key to a room boy who's working for 10 rooms. You may give him 10 guest room keys, or you may give him one flow master key, but the flow master key may open 20 rooms, so you won't give him the flow master key. You'll give the flow master key to the flow supervisor. So different keys are issued to different members in the housekeeping department. Flow supervisor will flow master key. Master key will be the housekeeper, deputy housekeeper. You know, they will hold the master key of all the floors. So according to their duties, place of work, you allocate the keys. Emergency key, master key, guest room key. Most hotels have electronic locking keys, locking systems. So a master key will open in locks of floor. Master key will only open locks of the floor. Electronic locking system, you know, will also record the time person opened it and closed it. So it becomes a more of a safety matter than anything else. And let's get to turndown service and evening service. Turndown service is basically given in the evening. What does a turndown service mean? Turndown service means that the guest is turning out for the night. His day is over, so you normally give the turndown service at 9 o'clock in the evening. I mean at 7 o'clock in the evening onwards, 7, 6:30, 7 onwards, and the guest is back. Sometimes you try and give it when the guest is not in the room, but the guests are normally back at dinner. So what do you do in a turndown service? You close the drapes, you turn on the lights, you play soft music, let it be on. You corner fold the bed in a way that the bed is welcoming, the person just has to lift the cover and move in, slide in. You fluff the pillows, you remove the cushions, you remove the bed cover, you keep a chocolate or the mint to make it welcoming, that the person has a mint or chocolate while he's sleeping. Some hotels would tell you put a breakfast card so that before he sleeps, tomorrow morning what breakfast he requires, you can and fill that in and put it out what time he requires. You can put it outside the door so that, you know, that is important. You also check the bathrooms. If they are wet, you wipe them clean. If they are dirty towels, you change them. So this is an example. These are the photographs of a turndown service, especially of the bed. Like I said, you fold the bed in a particular fashion so that the bed becomes inviting for the person. Then a little sweet or something on the bed so that, you know, have a little sweet before you sleep. Cleaning of bathrooms and shower curtains. Another photographs of this is important. So in this chapter, we learned the importance of SOPs. We've gone through a few SOPs, not in detail, but in general. So I hope you learned something from this chapter, and we'll see you in the next chapter. Thank you very much.